This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. To close a $223 million budget shortfall, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson has frozen hiring, travel, and most overtime for city departments. And that includes police and fire, a rare move that shows just how serious a financial predicament the city is in right now. So what kind of effect could this have on Chicagoans? And what other avenues are being explored to fill these gaps? WBEZ City Government and Politics reporters Tessa Weinberg and Mariah Wolfel joined us with the details. And I started by asking Mariah to break down what the travel overtime and hiring freeze entail and what exactly is exempted.
As you said, this is in the face of some pretty dire financial straits the city's facing. And the news is that there will be no new hires at any city department. That includes police and fire departments. For the foreseeable future, there was no end date, but this is presumably to close this year's budget deficit, budget shortfall. The $223 million year-end projected budget deficit. And so the city is also limiting overtime expenses, which can and do cost a pretty penny each year. But that won't include overtime related to public safety. So I think it's safe to assume that police and fire will be exempt from the overtime limitations. And those departments rack up a lot of overtime, particularly police. They rack up, you know, half, if not more than half, of the overtime the city spends on employee overtime. But lots of questions about this move remain, including how many vacant positions this affects, a departmental breakdown of those vacancies, how much money this is actually going to save the city, and when the hiring freeze will end.
Yeah. Well, we should note offer letters that have been previously extended will be honored if made before yesterday's date. This is according to the Office of Budget Management. Now, our colleague, Fran Spielman at the Sun-Times, reports that the Chicago Fire Department's already understaffed and operating with only 80 ambulances. She spoke with Pat Cleary, who's president of Chicago Firefighters Union Local 2, about the hiring freeze. And here's what Pat said, quote, employees on those ambulances are going to be even more overworked. Will they make mistakes? I don't know. Will they get in more accidents? I don't know. We'll find out. What do you make of that, Tessa?
Yeah, I think that uncertainty and that being between a rock and a hard place that he's speaking about is what I think we're going to see all the city departments really have to navigate now in the coming weeks as they make these really difficult calculations of how will they ensure their operations can continue? How can they ensure, you know, they're doing things in a safe way? What's the things they can go without versus the things that are must-haves? And right now, you know, departments are in the midst of crafting their own budget requests and proposals. You know, they're going to be going through their numbers, what their needs are, how maybe they're planning to grow in the next year, what the critical areas they really wanted to fill are. And in the face of this hiring freeze and these looming two dual shortfalls, this is all definitely going to be top of mind as they figure out what can they ask for, what they can prioritize, and where are they going to have to most definitely likely make cuts and, and trim.
Well, this hiring freeze, it was floated at the end of last month. What did you hear from Alders?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to hear a ton of reactions yet as the news just came out yesterday, but I'm sure we are going to hear lots of questions, especially from alderpersons who are very pro-police, pro-law enforcement. You know, this, I think, is going to raise eyebrows for some about what this will mean for the Chicago Police Department that is, you know, struggling with vacancies, alderpersons are often, you know, the front lines of hearing from concerns from constituents about public safety, about crime being an issue, and they're going to want to be able to, you know, go to their constituents and tell them clearly what this will mean for, you know, what their local public safety efforts right. will look like. And so I'm sure we're going to see lots of questions around that. And, you know, in the coming weeks after Mayor Johnson will give his budget address and actually lay out what other steps he'll be taking, whether that's cuts or revenue he'll raise, that will really be alderperson's chance to also, you know, try and influence the budget and try and negotiate and maybe point out other areas they'd like to see trimmed instead mm-hmm. or how they'd like to see that change.
Yeah. What have members of the Johnson administration said in response to this news of the freeze, Mariah?
I think members of the administration, including the mayor, are trying to kind of scrape tooth and nail to try to close this year's budget gap and then address a nearly $1 billion shortfall right. next year. They're looking to every corner that they can because they're also trying to do this really big thing, which is avoid a property tax increase, mm-hmm. which is what Johnson, you know, vehemently campaigned on. No property tax increases his first term as mayor. And so I think they're painting this as a necessary step in the face of this really, you know, rough budget forecast.
Yeah. So overtime that's directly related to public safety, will that still be allowed?
Right. Yeah. So public safety overtime will, the limitations on overtime, which we don't really have details about other than that, that there will be stringent limitations of overtime spending and travel expenses. And we don't know what those limitations exactly are, but the city did say that overtime related to public safety, so you can assume police and fire departments will be like, this won't apply to those, to that, to public safety initiatives. And it is a huge expense. WTTW has done a lot of reporting on overtime pay, and the city of Chicago in 2023 spent $524 million on employee overtime. Mm-hmm. And more than half of that total amount was used for Chicago Police Department officers who worked extra hours.
Oh, I see.
And so, you know, that will still, if indeed, you know, police are completely exempt from overtime pay, that will continue to be a huge expense, even in the face of this initiative.
Backing up just a little bit, Tessa, I mean, how does this year's budget shortfall compare with previous years?
Yeah, so it's not unprecedented, even though it is, you know, a large, nearly $1 billion shortfall we're facing. You know, former Mayor Lori Lightfoot also faced a you know, nearly $1 billion shortfall when the city's finances were battered by the COVID-19 pandemic. You know, she also similarly implemented a hiring freeze when shortly before her budget forecast showed there's going to be a more than $800 million deficit. So, you know, we've been here before. It's not like the city's never faced this, but it is, you know, unique that we have these kind of dual budget gaps happening. We have, so to kind of back up a bit, we have the immediate end of year $223 million shortfall that has to be closed. The city cannot legally operate on this budget deficit. Mm-hmm. And so the city's doing what it can to immediately address that, which is why we're seeing these actions like the hiring freeze before the budget is even announced.
Right.
And then we have next year's nearly $1 billion budget deficit for 2025. And, you know, you might be thinking, didn't the city already try to close this deficit? Wasn't that the whole point of the budget they passed last fall?
Right.
Which they had at the time. And at that point, it was a $538 million forecasted, but revenues have been underperforming. They've been stressing the city's not overspending what it budgeted, but that revenues are not keeping pace with what they thought, which is why we're seeing this end of year revision mm-hmm. that's being paired then with also next year's forecast. So yeah. we've got those dual budget
so
gaps.
So many things. While he's trying to avoid raising property taxes, as you mentioned, some alderpersons are calling on the mayor to put around $140 million in remaining COVID relief funds towards this gap. What else are they saying, Mariah?
Yeah, that was one of the questions that's been raised. It's like, can we spend remaining COVID-19 relief funds on closing this budget gap, or should we be exploring that? And city budget officials have kind of already been clear that they do not intend to do that. They called that actually a dangerous practice, using one-time grant relief funds to plug holes in recurring expenses that the city has to account for each and every year, because because if you use one-time funding for that gap and you're reliant on that, you create an even bigger fiscal cliff for the next year without figuring out what is a reliable revenue source. And so it doesn't seem that that's an option that the Johnson administration is exploring. I think that would also be tough politically to do, because those dollars are specifically earmarked for programs that can help everyday Chicagoans recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. That includes, those dollars are paying for the Guaranteed Basic Income pilot program that sends cash payments to low-income families in Chicago. Public assistance programs like that. And so I think it would be a tough political move to say, we're actually going to use this for a purpose that's much harder for, the everyday Chicagoan to understand, of plugging in budget holes instead of using these dollars to go kind of directly to helping residents.
Well, we're almost out of time, Lise, but Mariah, I do want to touch on another thing that Alders met to discuss last week, and that was creating permanent housing for the migrants living here in Chicago. The committee couldn't reach quorum, right?
Yeah. So the chair of the Committee on Immigrant and Refugee Rights, Andre Vasquez, wants to hold regular hearings with the council's housing committee on how to address some of the barriers migrants are facing to getting long-term housing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the migrant crisis conversation has been on how do we open shelters, how do we run shelters, how do we pay for food at shelters, security at shelters, and all of those things. But there's this desire to reshift the conversation to address new problems that are coming up, like migrants facing housing discrimination, mm-hmm. even when they get a job that is helping sustain them or their family, and they may be at the point of being able to pay rent somewhere, it's the barrier of now being able to actually find a landlord who will rent to you.
Yeah.
And so
you tweeted about some xenophobic comments that arose as well, right?
Yeah. So it's, a longstanding tension over resources and where those resources are going to residents in the city of Chicago. And there's many residents in the city of Chicago, Black and Brown residents who have been historically underserved, whose communities have been starved of resources. There's also a regular group of provocative agitators who attend city council meetings and I would say aren't necessarily representative of those more sincere, genuine concerns, and are using the platform to spew, mostly anti-immigrant, xenophobic chanting, we want ICE, go back home, and those sorts of things that have kind of, become a bit of a distraction, even if some of those commenters do hold, some of the genuine policy concerns.
Yeah, we'll have to leave it there. Very messy situation to a very serious issue. WBEZ City Government and Politics reporters Tessa Weinberg and Mariah Wolf, well, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset's here to inform and take you around Chicago. If you're interested in hearing more, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely